Ladies and gentlemen, buckle up for the sex. It's the After Pro of Nothing podcast.
With your hosts, Salsa,
Matt,
and Jenna.
And we're joined this week by special guest,
Kara.
And you've been on, what, once? Twice?
Yes.
Once?
No, just once.
Three times a lady? Awesome.
I have to bribe you with money and booze in order to come onto your show.
That's how most.
That's generally
are.
How it works.
That's
just,
bribing
this is
with
how
money
I get all my friends.
To be fair, I think you got off cheap because you are a silent auction winner from the most recent Die Laughing.
Yes, I am.
Which is awesome because that both drew attention to the fact that our show exists and also gave money to Fearless, which you might have heard us mention once or twice.
Never heard of it.
Whereas, you know, and the thing is, though, I believe compared to the amount of cash value booze that, like, we require Cedius to give us to get on this show, you made out like a bandit and helped the nonprofit
like the
theater company.
Sale
so
price.
I feel like you're doing God's work. that's what I'm landing on here for this. So yeah, welcome.
It's my court mandated.
Oh, this is your community service.
Oh my god,
you got a parking ticket. You
oh my
walk
god,
out.
That's why you're wearing the bright orange. Okay, I get it.
Like she pulled it's up in that fashion. STS van, and I was like, what? I thought you adopted the highway. Oh, I see.
I just thought orange was the new black.
Oh,
it
you
is.
Mother
racist
fucker. Mm-hmm. Oh, I see.
Actually, orange is the new president.
Oh.
I'm gonna take off my sweater now.
And our president used to be black.
Wait.
So my statement stands.
I get it. Individual.
Yeah.
Gotcha. So you're doing like a. You're thinking the president is like a Doctor Who style regeneration. Every 4 to 8. Like, that's an interesting idea.
And I would. And like the new regeneration, nobody
play.
Is watching.
That's also true. Mm. Is that still on?
Yeah.
Doctor Who still on?
I think so.
Yep.
It is.
I haven't been keeping up with it lately.
It will always go on, Matt.
Well, it takes spaces between.
It will always live on.
Oh, boy. Is it the old guy still?
Peter Capaldi.
I feel like he's been doing it for a while.
No,
a few years.
Yeah, because I mean, like a lot of them seem to only go like
season?
I think a couple.
Oh,
years.
Not that long. Okay,
they're
it
already
like the new
on
ones
the search
like three
for
or four years
one, yeah.
is about all they really want to give them.
Mm-hmm.
Want to be a chick.
We haven't had a baker yet. That's for sure.
For sure. Yeah, and that's the thing that the most common sentiment is that people are like, I think we're due for a female doctor.
Yeah,
and like that'd be fun.
Or a person of color.
Yeah, well, just anything that's not random white dude.
Yeah. Can we have less random white dudes?
Yeah, the only variable so far has been age.
Yeah, which is
I will say, I think Tennant at least seemed like he might be less straight.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it was definitely all about the chicks, but...
Matt Smith was less good.
Well, Smith was less good, but Smith was also teetering on the Kinsey seesaw.
Yeah. No. Ooh.
I mean,
they created Harkness to really run that spectrum, I think. That's the extent of my Doctor Who references.
Mm-hmm. Well done!
Oh, thank you very much. Made that second marriage worth it.
Whatever makes you sleep at night.
Yeah.
I just didn't even expect it. That's what made that extra delightful.
There you go.
Neither did he.
That's
how most of his marriages worked.
So, hey, Herbert.
Surprise.
What are we all up to? What's going on?
Oh, God.
How we doing?
We're
drinking a beer.
You're drinking? What are you drinking?
Well, some of us are. We're drinking. Okay, what are we drinking? Yeah. There's all kinds of shit happening.
What are you drinking, gentlemen?
All right, so.
It's a cacophony of alcohol.
I did.
That should be the word for a grouping of alcohol.
Yes.
A cacophony of alcohol. Like a flamboyance of flamingos or a cum dumpster of vilifiers. Like that's, I think, a cacophony of alcohol.
Yeah.
A bouquet of flower girls.
The bouquet, is that really the word?
It is because that's what I had at my wedding. Like nine flower girls. It was a bouquet
sense.
Of right. flower
girls. Are you sure it wasn't just a suckers of flower girls?
No, they were adorable.
Oh,
when they went down the aisle all together, like every egg in that room was just ready to go.
I like a bouquet of flower girls. That's good. Okay. If that doesn't exist before now,
yeah,
it does.
You could have fed a country if you just stick frying pans under every woman.
Jesus Christ.
Gross.
Wow. Salsa's on point this evening.
I'm tired
and cranky.
Tired, grumpy salsa is usually a little sharper wit because I think the filter goes away. And he's
Wait,
just like.
You got a filter?
I think so. I think salsa occasionally has his intelligence get in the way of his wit. Because he'll think of a thing and go, should I say this? Or
which
is that
really
the best phrasing of this? As opposed to like me, which is just diarrhea of the mouth until eventually something funny falls out. And I think if you take away some of that filter on salsa, then you just get like, oh shit, son. Like, all right.
Wit hemorrhoids.
Mm.
That's my new Led Zeppelin cover band.
What was the thing Heather said tonight at lab?
I don't know. I wasn't there.
Well,
which one?
Two of the, three of the six people in this room. Five people. Where'd that one guy go?
Math is hard.
But... No, Heather talked about going out and getting covered in mosquito bites and having...
Oh, the skin nipples?
Skin, that just skin made of nipples.
Nipples all over her skin.
Oh, and it's God. Just like, oh, that's hauntingly
I understand evocative. Exactly what you're
exactly.
talking about,
yeah, yeah,
though.
Yeah, yeah.
Yep.
Shit. It's like, oh, that's cool. Anyway, so what's going on, everybody?
But still not homogenous zones.
Yep. But, then again, a good scratch on mosquito bites sometimes is like,
oh yeah.
It depends
yeah,
on how bad.
Keep going,
right? Because as soon as you stop, it's bad. It's like chicken pox.
And then you do that thing where you scratch the area around it. You're like, dude, I'm not actually scratching it.
That scab that's too tight that the skin's getting pulled, and you're like, if I scratch this, it's all going to end badly. So you if I just kind of gently tease the skin,
you scratch the like. An inch to each side of it.
Yep.
Just like, I'm not like actually like scratching it, so this doesn't count.
Kind of like the outer labia, mons pubis, and the road rash is kind of where you want to land from that.
So I did a show on the Wisconsin border.
Right, dear God, that means,
does that have to do with labia?
And that means that I took a jaunt into Wisconsin, and that means we're drinking New Glarus tonight.
Woo-woo!
Well, I mean, the ladies aren't, because we're like,
yeah.
But,
So the smart people are. Yeah. We are drinking.
That's adorable.
We are drinking New Glarus Berliner Weiss 2017.
Does this say what that means?
No,
it's a Weiss from Berlin.
Do you guys?
Thank you. You're welcome.
But have you guys hit the point where you realize you're doing that thing you saw your parents do, where you like hold a thing to read and you kind of start moving your arms back and forth,
pretending that everything's okay in front of your kids?
I'm getting there. I mean, I'm at the age.
I'm just going to
You're a little bit young for
by 40, most people do. I mean, I worked in a vision clinic for 7 years. Yeah, but I'm 38. Like, I'm at the age where that's not weird.
That's a little young. I worked in the eye clinic as well.
Is that a sour?
It seems kind of like that, which is why I was asking if it says anything about it. But it's good. But yeah, but no, I'm getting to that point where I forget. God, I mean, it might have been at rehearsal for Murder on the Mississippi. Garrick and I were talking. We were going to run a line, and we both kind of held up our script, and we both moved our arm out.
Yeah,
it was like, oh no.
No, that's how I got. That's when I went in for glasses. Yep. When I had to hold my cell phone over here.
Yeah, and you're like,
to
if my arm was 6 inches longer, I'd be able to see this.
Exactly.
Like,
this has Chardonnay grapes in it.
Ooh, that sounds enticing.
What?
Napoleon hailed this tart beer style, the Champagne of the North, a lively and elegant masterpiece. This Berliner Weiss is a kaleidoscope of fresh flavor, barrel fermentation, Riesling and Chardonnay grapes with Wisconsin white wheat are bottle fermented with 5 proprietary yeast strains.
So yeah, the sour note is
so
the Riesling.
Is because it's got wine.
Yep.
Grape.
It is. It's interesting because that's just like a weird hobo sour then, kind of.
It surprised me on the first swallow, but the second swallow, now that I know what I'm getting into.
All right, let me try a sip so that I can hate it.
Actually,
it's a little drier than I was expecting.
When we were just talking about the Dogfish Head Sequench Ale.
Yeah.
You know, that's an excellent sour.
That's amazing.
I don't like hops.
But I can see this kind of being on that spectrum.
I hate hops, and I'm not even tasting the hops.
I tasted it.
No.
Jenna can tell the hops in the other
room. That's her X-Men power.
Yeah.
Yeah, like... There is hops.
She's
here.
Hops, and everybody's like, careful, she's a jumper. And she's like, no.
That is
I'm a cider.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Like, that doesn't make sense. You're like, exactly.
I don't like sociables.
We one? Have found.
I feel like I've not liked those much either.
The goddamn unicorn.
They're not really ciders, though.
Do you want?
That's one the problem.
For
I think.
Your own,
like, we've gotten a
apparently
couple.
Apparently, they do have a cider that's an actual cider. And not like,
maybe we've just not
but
bought
due
the right
to.
One.
Is
like,
that a yes or no?
That's good.
Do you want one or not? Jesus.
Well, no, I'm taking
this
cider.
No. I'm sorry, but this is a monumental moment in beer history that I have gone.
Where she didn't answer a fucking question.
Yes. I said yes. Guys.
After I asked you 7 times.
I'm sorry, only four. I am stymied by the fact that I have spent all my entire life hating beer.
You just haven't been trying New Glarus.
I have tried so many beers that I have hated, and I have.
Yeah,
you just have to put a little bit of wine in it, and boom.
There's a lot of bad beer.
No,
there.
I get that.
Yeah,
like most people are picking.
No, my wife also is not a beer drinker, but the apricot ale from Fitgers, she is all over.
I've had a couple still good apricot hops.
Even
beers.
Yeah, even that one was still too.
But
yeah,
if
me.
Hops
but
is
I'm just I'm saying for her that one was the one where she went, oh okay, I will drink this one.
Right.
That no. I can't taste the hops.
Well, I'm taking your pumpkin spice cider, bitch.
All right.
And drinking it as loudly as possible.
So I performed at
you
a wedding.
Have to drive for to yoga class wait, next week.
I performed at a wedding. But, as Casimir.
And or
like in the middle of the wedding ceremony itself?
Nope, I was the
part of the wedding.
I was the a cocktail hour entertainer.
Oh, you weren't. Okay. Were you the officiant?
No.
Oh, no.
I was the entertainer.
And now it was an.
It was yeah. It was a. The, for,
repeat
they,
after
they,
me.
They had a.
And it's like, and if we can't understand you, one, you can't get married, and two, you're not allowed to be a dentist.
This next part is the bride's vows only.
Oh, you monster.
I know, right?
God damn
anyway,
it.
No, it was, they had a circus slash sideshow theme for their wedding.
That's awesome.
So, like, it was outside on, so there's a river that runs between Minnesota and Wisconsin, and it was fucking on the river.
There's a river runs through.
Like the platform that they got married on, right behind him was river.
Right on.
So it was nice. Beautiful scenery, and it was this little sportsman country club thing. After the ceremony, where the seating area was, they moved all the chairs out and they put down beanbag toss and ring toss and
oh shit
and you
so
know,
like a midway
exactly just kind of awesome. These fun midway games.
Wait, did they call it beanbag toss or did they call it cornholing?
I don't remember
because that blew my mind the first
Speaking
time I saw
beanbags.
I don't know what they call it. All I know is they had a few midway games set up there, and then they had me do my show for the crowd.
Did they have other variety arts?
No, I just me nice. On as far as that. So
is
I did
someone
some,
you knew.
Guy we know from Fest.
Cool. Like an actual Rennie or like someone you know as a
Rennie.
Oh, okay, cool.
So yeah, there was a bunch
These
of people. There was a bunch
well,
of people
just,
there that we knew.
It's interesting to me to go, if it's just like a patron, then like that's a whole other level of awesome, because then it's like you just love this thing too much and that's cool. Whereas it's like, okay, I'm in this world. Okay, then we would do
yeah,
this
no,
thing we
no,
like,
the,
you know,
these
like,
these people were, you know, these people.
oh, so.
There,
one of those.
There are some of those.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. No, a lot of people that we knew, Fessies, were there.
That's cool.
So they were the ones kind of at the back of the crowd going, no, you guys should really go. You should really watch this show. Come on.
Yeah.
to all of the people who
were
family.
Not as hip to the
They were like,
scene.
No, serious. You should probably go outside for this show.
Because you will not see this anymore.
Yeah.
But I had people arranged.
I should point out they can't have been that hip because I don't think I got an invite. So they couldn't have been the coolest.
What?
So.
You're not Some Matt bitch. Alex cool.
Nobody is Matt
no, we'll
Alex
let,
cool.
We'll just go
Matt
ahead and...
Matt Alex is yeah. not
even
that.
Matt Alex cool.
No, we'll let him think that. but I had people arrayed in front of me and up on a balcony above me. So,
oh, that's going to be a cool perspective.
That's exactly. I was like, I really hope somebody sends me some photos
I was
going to
say,
above.
For next season, you should have someone do a demo reel for you from, like, the balconies in Bad Manor or something when you're out in the square out there, because that would be a totally different look.
That would be really cool.
And if you zoom in on it enough, like, oh, that could be really interesting.
And when I swallowed the sigh, I actually, like, made sure, I told him I was going to step right under the balcony so they had a straight down shot.
Ugh.
So, little bit of fire. In the negotiation process, it turns out her father is like the fire chief for the town that this was in. Small little town. But they have one of those 1920s fire engines.
Cool.
And they were like, we want to get pictures of you breathing fire in front of this. And I was like, yes.
I want you to get pictures of me breathing
fire. I get a copy of that.
So, and actually, once the procession, you know, the bridesmaids and the flower girl and everything, blah, 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 came in, the bride actually rode in. Like, they drove her in on the old
yes.
fucking fire engine.
Oh, that's delightful.
And, you know, then we had the ceremony and everything. Then we looked around and we went, where'd the truck go?
Oh.
The people from the fire department had brought it back.
Aww.
What?
Yep.
No.
No, they brought it back.
Damn it.
So that one moment that I was really hoping would kind of happen.
Oh, that would have been an awesome publicity.
I know. It was so, and they had actually added like a jump seat to the back of it, because it was obvious that this thing was used in parades now.
Mm. Yeah.
Yes.
You know, so they had put one of these jump seats in the up on the back on the bed. Obviously for the parade king and queen or whatever the fuck to ride on. And I was sitting there going, I want to lounge on that chair just like loll on that chair doing a fire blast, mm-hmm. and that like that would be a fucking amazing picture, and then it didn't happen. So anybody who has access to an old-timey 1920s fire engine who wants to get a really great picture, go ahead and send me a message.
Oh, Matt's thinking.
You might be able to hit up Greta and Coda, because Coda's still a Stockyard Days princess in New Brighton. I think they have one of those. Because I know they have, because Greta's parents live right by the firehouse. I swear there's an old-timey one in there. And with her being the Stockyard Days thing, you might be able to do some kind of a swap.
At least know who to talk to.
Yeah, for sure.
Just for a
that's
photo
probably
shoot.
I'd hit him up. You might be able to do that, because that would be fucking rad.
I mean, just for even to rent it for a half hour for a
and
photo
the thing
shoot
is, I bet if you're
like,
hey, I'll do a little half hour show for you guys if you let me take some promotional photos on your thing and blah, like that's you know.
But anyway, that's the thing that
nice.
And my wife was also performing this last weekend. She and the rest of Fondazzi were in Indiana during the opening ceremonies for the Special Olympics.
Wow, oh, cool.
Nice.
Yeah.
What?
How did I not even hear about that?
Right?
Because you
don't listen.
Don't pay attention to the news.
Oh, right.
Ever?
No.
No, but yeah. I didn't hear about this either.
I didn't mean like the idea of the Special Olympics
I've been, like,
happening.
Hanging
I feel like
out
I
with
never
your
know
wife
that.
An awful
yeah, I feel
lot
like
lately.
She was not marketing that well.
No.
At least not to me.
Well, not. No,
and I am a prime.
I mean, were you
going
to drive to Indiana?
Maybe.
I
don't know.
The right incentive, you would.
I'm not necessarily driving
Matt,
to Indiana.
What if it's televised?
Matt, you didn't get invited to a wedding of Festies.
Oh.
That actually makes a lot more sense. Me getting an invite to the Special Olympics would seem much more in my wheelhouse.
They took off. They drove overnight to get there. On Thursday night,
is
Friday
like
9, morning,
10 hours to get there.
Yeah,
you
something
can do
like
that.
That's
easy.
Yeah, you can.
But
yeah.
They drove overnight, and then they were going to sleep that morning, and then perform that evening. And they couldn't find the person with the keys to like the dorm or anything like that. So they were just like exhausted and trying to catnap in the van, and you know,
average Rennie type
kind of
variety arts performance.
And then they performed for the opening ceremonies. My wife messaged me when they were done. She was like, the show went well. And I was like, okay, cool. And you know what? I was like, I Googled for news footage of it.
I couldn't see
any video or anything like that, but it just got done. That probably will come out tomorrow or something like that. And I was like, you know, were there any TV cameras there? And she was like, I don't know, but I was on the Jumbotron. And I was like,
cool.
Yes.
I've never been on a Jumbotron.
I was just
pretty fucking cool.
Oh my God, I have a segue. I'm going to be on a Jumbotron.
Oh.
Human Combat Chess opens this Friday.
Oh,
do they have a Jumbotron?
Shit.
Yeah, we've got
shit.
A Jumbotron.
Nice. Do you not have a Jumbotron?
We don't have a Jumbotron.
That's the only way you can see Jenna.
I would go if I didn't have families and things.
You can bring your kids. Lilbeth would actually
Lilbeth would probably
have weapons.
That is true.
Yeah. No. Human Combat Chess opens this weekend. We've been in tech.
Holy shit.
So much tech. All of the tech.
Really quick side note, about this. Lilbeth, as she was going to bed last night, she goes, I want to be a superhero when I grow up.
Aww.
Like Wonder Woman.
Yeah.
And we were just like Raiderly and I left the room and we like high-fived each other.
Yes!
That is done. Right. Yeah.
All right. Go ahead.
And then Jenna can teach her better be a stabby hero.
Oh, right? Yeah. I will
Wonder
teach
Woman
her
uses
all of
a
the
sword.
Weaponry.
It's true.
Yeah.
That's true.
We've been in tech, which has been all of the insanity and craziness that tech normally is for any show. So, I'm tired.
But with puns.
Oh my God, so many puns. Look, okay, so I don't know how much I've talked about this.
Knowing
we've had guests on talking about chess a lot. So, I'm announcing this year my team did not make it to the championship.
Ooh.
Neither did Kyle Decker's team.
I was going to say, isn't Kyle the other announcer?
Yep.
Which is going to be real fun watching you get sick of him.
Oh my God.
We had
a rehearsal where
up there than
he
anywhere
was
else.
Encouraged. He was encouraged for 3 hours to come up with as many puns as he could.
And he doesn't need that.
No.
He needs 5 minutes.
No, but I mean the encouragement is the
kill
worst
him at
idea.
The end of that night, And that is the greatest achievement ever to hit. Like, that's, just a second.
That is whatever. Yeah, that is whatever the knifey stabby version of gun control is. Oh. And this is the Kyle make puns and not cut him. No, I do think I cannot wait to hear the stories. That
we are actually having an absolute blast with.
I would imagine
the announcering.
Yeah, the announcering.
The announcering.
That's your new movie.
The announcering.
The announcering. Three, the reckoning of the language with puns
by M. Night Shyamalan, starring Mark Wahlberg.
Oh no!
I just watched a Shyamalan movie. Just here.
So we open Friday, and you can still get discount tickets with hashtag assume the board.
Boop, boop.
I think it's assume the board / round paper tickets or dot
that's right.
Whatever. Or just go to slash Six dot. Elements Theater, yep. And you can find all the information there.
Get it / assume the board.
Nah. Quotation.
No, get it because there's a knife.
Semicolon.
Yes, because there's a slash. I got it. I got it. You know Kyle Decker.
Achah.
Which may save your life, but...
Not really.
I mean, in as much as there's a big meaty dude that could stand between me and danger, and it might take enough wild animals time to eat him, but I can get away, yes.
And generally confuse them long enough.
That is true. But yeah, I feel like he may inspire more punny rage.
Oh, my God. No, here's the worst. I'm telling this story.
I love
Fuck
you,
off,
Kyle.
Yesterday we had tech, and Kyle was a little bit late. And he was still like way on time for his call time, but we had talked about getting together earlier to go through some stuff.
So theater late, not real life late.
Yeah. Exactly. So anyway, they did a thing on festival grounds yesterday, and so he had put on his work costume and did some pictures and things like that. And he found his dad joke book.
Oh no.
And he brought it with. Why did he bring it with? I don't know. I think he actually has a suicide.
He tempts death.
I think
to
he
infuriate
wants
you.
Me to stab him.
Yeah.
Of course.
So
it's a very specific kink.
So yeah, he kept. Here's what he did though, is that he had this book, and he would start to open this book, and I would just leave. And then,
which
I would
puts
come
you
back.
In a wiser category than most of us.
And then, like after a while later, he'd start to open the book, and I would just like disappear.
Nice.
And then he brought the book to the announcer table where I'm stuck. But
he can be taught.
Because we were rehearsing.
Just pile drive him right through the Undertaker style.
Oh,
just
for sure.
I was going to say, just shove the book straight down his fucking throat.
Yep.
So we do our tech, and there's like a break in the middle. And as soon as we hit the break, he picks up the book, and I'm like, I gotta go get water.
Yep.
Like, yeah, every single goddamn
this pleases me so much.
Hate him.
I had one of the best, like, little breaks at Fest last year, sitting backstage with Kyle, Mike Heck, and Andrea.
Okay.
As they tried to out-pun / dad joke each other.
Oh my god.
Every time you're like, clearly, one of them is going to... Because they were just kind of round-robin. Like, just everybody has to try to one-up each other. And I was like, every time you're like, okay, clearly, someone's going to go dry. No.
Okay.
It was...
2 weeks ago.
Felt like forever.
2 weeks ago. fucking at this...
As far as I can tell, I'm still there.
So, human
13 seconds later...
2 weeks ago... we were doing a costume thing, and the only people that were not called for the costume thing, or that didn't have to participate in the costume thing, was myself, Kyle, and James. And so the three of us are standing off to the side, and Kyle and James start going back and forth. I started counting.
Yeah.
74.
Yeah.
That's... On costuming, sewing, anything clothing related. Yeah. Again, I did not kill anybody.
Darn it, my costume is old.
I'm very proud of you, Jonas. Like,
seriously.
That is amazing.
The fact that I have...
Rage, Jenna. The tiniest little Hulk.
Come back. Come back next week when we have James and Kyle on the episode.
That's a great idea right there. They won't show.
Yeah,
you
I think
can hide oranges in a sack or something. Like
maybe that should be a die laughing thing. Is we get Andrea, Kyle, and James and have them do punny dad jokes until we make enough money to make them stop. And just be like, sorry guys, 2K. 2K. We done in 15 minutes. This is all up to you.
We blocked off
4 hours.
Like, Jenna is selling her car. She's like, I got it.
I think what we do is you tie Jenna to a chair and give her a lav so she can host and whimper.
But think, thankfully, Stephen will turn off the feed to...
No. You don't turn off that feed. You
gotta leave the feed.
Feed's gotta go the entire time. Yep, and the feed must carry on. Supper, y'all are
I really like this idea, and I'm guessing the second we propose this to them, they will absolutely be on board. Someone remind me of this.
Why do you hate me?
We will.
Please,
Man's making notes.
And hopefully the person who makes the schedule puts it on the schedule.
I know that person.
Yeah. By the way, St. Man of the Destroyer, a longtime friend of the podcast, is sitting in the room enjoying drinks and not having to participate because that's the smart move.
So, I will say,
taking notes, however.
That's true. She is. She's now an engineer, actually.
Oh, there you
she
go.
She is?
Well, if she makes a drink, she is.
Yeah.
I made myself a drink.
That there
counts.
You go.
No,
Justin often made himself a drink.
So,
what the fuck drink do you want then, Sandra?
I mean, yes.
Don't give him options.
Engineer test.
Wait, hold on. Saint Manna the Destroyer.
Saint Engineer Manna.
Saint Manna the Engineer Destroyer.
Saint, no.
No, actually, I like that.
The Engineer Destroyer? I can kind of.
Corwin, don't show up.
Also, because she took your job.
No, would it be Engineer
Saint? You won't
saint?
Be needed at work.
Engineer
Monday,
Saint or Saint Engineer?
Don't show up for what?
Engineer Saint? Or Saint Engineer.
Stengineer.
That starts getting weird. That gets weird.
Saint Man of the Destroyer, ENG.
LLC. Maybe.
PDQ.
Esquire. BBQ. OMG. WTF.
Coming to you in the
LOL.
all right. So, yeah. Anyway. Human combat chess tech is in full swing, huh? Because there's swords and we swing them.
Okay. Oh, man, remember that pun?
I do. I've been hanging out with Kyle far too much. But yeah, come see it on Friday. This weekend, I think kids under a certain age are free.
Oh, cool.
There's the hashtag assume the board for the rest of your savings. This is the weekend to come see it and the weekend to save.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, sure.
I'm bringing all the kids.
As many kids as you can fit in a van? No.
I would say the better answer might be as many as you can comfortably wrangle is probably the better answer. You don't want them squawking off.
You can wrangle a lot with weapons.
That's true. That's true.
It's helpful. I mean,
depends upon how self-participatory it can get.
And I guess that's Father's Day weekend. So, mm-hmm. So what
your, oh my God, bring your dad.
What
Holy
your dad
shit.
Really, really wants... on Father's Day is to see people hit each other with swords.
We don't have a show on Father's Day.
No, not on, but it's Father's Day weekend.
It's still a Father's Day present.
So
we do have a matinee performance.
Give your dad the gift of violence.
Yes.
Yeah, turn it back around on him.
I love how that took everybody a moment.
So speaking of shows,
yes.
I'm not going to really pimp the show because we're still a ways out as a fringe show, but with my fringe show, The Well, it's the first time I've tried doing a horror show,
whore or show?
¿Por qué no los dos?
All right.
You but said whore, right?
What that meant was, like...
No, I just, I heard the hot dog in my head.
I'm pretty sure
you
said whore. And I'm sorry.
But what that meant was a couple days ago when we had a rehearsal at my place, Andrea just brought over, like, a tackle box full of stuff, and we just destroyed everybody's faces with blood and gore and latex and things.
Yes.
God damn it. Like, why don't we get to do that every day? It was the most fun thing ever.
I mean, you could.
Because she was like, oh, wait, so this one will look nice and gross and clotted. Give me your wrist. And then just like, bleh. And it's like, cool. And this one, powder, invisible. But when you run water across it, uses back end of a butter knife under a faucet, it goes... and just starts bleeding down your arm. And I'm like, what? Like, all right, now this one is a slower ooze. Here, lean over so I can get your neck. And just...
Oh, my God.
And it's like, but I'm thinking we're going to need some contusions for this character. So, like, lean in here with your forehead. And so then, of course, like, we did this like a half hour before everybody else showed up. And then... because the buzzer doesn't work in my building, I have to go let people in. So I get like the like first text that's like, here. I'm like, oh, cool, Dan's here. And so I head down the hallway.
You've already forgotten.
No, and I walk around the corner, and Dan, well, and Dan's on Trail of Terror forever. Yeah,
right.
So Dan is totally just like, the second I walk around the corner, he kind of smiles, and you can see him start to go, And he's like already articulating how he would do things.
Right.
Right.
And like very judgmentally, not in like the shitty way, but in the way of like, but what if we brought it up to, very, you know, well versed. And then I realized there are two people behind Dan in the little like lobby way.
You just collapse right there. Just suddenly fall over.
Yeah. So I open the door and he's like, hey, I'm like, guess what we're doing tonight? And he's like, And then the two people behind him just kind of stand there. And then the one goes, is that real? And I have literally a thing that runs from like the side of my neck to past the midpoint.
Yes.
And it's got 2-3 inches of blood coming down it. And I've got both my wrists are slashed. I've got this like huge thing. And I'm like, no, it's fake. They're like, yeah. So we head back, and then like I get the next buzz, and I head out, and then I realize I've left huge, disgusting, bloody handprints all over the door because I wasn't paying attention, and I'd like touched my cheek because then we did this like claw gash effect.
Oh my god!
And I forgot, and I was like thinking it's something, and I was like, oh shit, no, the back of my hands, and I just made that kind of like hang off. And every time I answer the door, I look grosser. And then Nathan Kelly, who has some of the more extensive makeup in the show. We did a scene where he's only in the first couple of minutes, and then we used the rest of that time where everyone else is rehearsing for Andrew to just go nuts and just gross him up. And so we get done, and we're like, fucking cool, dude. And he's like, I love this. And he's roommates with Jay Kistler, who does the Dangerous Production stuff. Yep. You know, a great improviser and also does a lot of horror theater. And so he's like, Jay always gets to do the shit for shows. No, I get to. He's like, he's out of town this weekend, so I can't go home and show him. But I'm going to go pick up barbecue after this, and I'm not washing. So he went to, I don't know where he went, like Famous Days or something. He's like, I'm calling ahead and I'm just going to pick it up, but I'm going in like this. Like, you're awesome, dude.
That is delightful.
He's like so, just so game. Like, he's just as excited as I am. Like, this is going to be sweet. I'm going to be covered in gunk. And it's going to be gory and weird.
I love
and
it.
Sticky and awesome. And it's like, yeah, this is pretty good. So yeah, we won't talk about the show until farther along, but man, it was fun. And just sitting there being like, I want to be able to do this every day. It's so much fun. Yay. And between Andrea and Dan, like really fun ideas and really cool stuff. So everybody will look different and have fun stuff. But
nice.
Oh, it was so much fun.
Ooh.
It's called the afterburn.
Oh boy.
Oh god.
Wow. And it's in a
it's in an Erlenmeyer.
Yeah, I'm gonna try it first. So. Take that, John.
It should be over ice, but we don't have ice.
Ooh. Ooh.
Uh-oh. So Jenna's our space monkey.
I'm high already.
Oh boy.
Lunar baboon. Lunar
baboon. I like that a lot.
It's a little something to me. I think I can see where the ice would really come in. Mm-hmm. I don't want to say it's not bitter, but it's got kind of an herbally taste.
But yeah,
to
that
it.
Tastes like that smells like rocket fuel.
Yeah.
Actually, I kind of like
it. But it
this.
Doesn't Every? It doesn't taste
Yes, that's
that.
What it is.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah,
actually,
it doesn't...
I quite like that.
Yeah. It doesn't, like, you smell it, and you're like, holy shit, this is going to just kill me. And then you drink it, and you're like, yeah.
Is it,
no, that's the part I'm not liking.
There's a piney? Yeah, I'm getting, like, an evergreeny, piney...
Right.
Yeah, I smell
it's
it.
Probably the hum botanical spirit.
Oh, okay, that's... I'm getting... Because I was going to say, it's more
that's
of a yeah,
where
monster...
I was, like, herbally...
Botanical-y
and,
thing.
Yeah.
It's about 1.5 ounces of the hum botanical spirit.
To the mic.
Okay. All right, so... All right, the afterburn. 1.5 ounces botanical spirit, titled Hum, and then about 1 ounce of Belvedere vodka, only the purest vodka, and then ginger beer to fill the drink.
Oh, that makes sense. Yep.
And and peppermint schnapps to taste.
And I think the peppermint schnapps and botanical is the thing that I was mostly getting from it, which
That's
I like
exactly
a lot.
That's exactly what I'm getting
I would highly recommend if you make this drink, shake it, and then pour it over ice.
Yeah, I think that makes perfect sense.
But I think the mix of the subtle peppermint and the botanicals give it a kind of a piney
and
evergreen.
Yeah. Megan and I were talking about this recently. Bitter drinks are getting more and more appealing to me.
Mm-hmm.
I'm kind of over the sugary stuff.
Because you're becoming more and more of a psychopath.
That's, I mean,
what more?
Bitters are, bitters are good.
No, it's more. It's creepy. But, please stop. Please. Don't run for president.
Well, your tastes change.
Yeah, Megan. Yeah, no, for sure.
At different ages. So. Yep.
But yeah, Megan picked up a bottle of like some Angostura bitters for me just to have around the house so we can just do like tonic water and bitters and stuff just to have laying around. And it's like, oh, goddamn. I'm digging that more. Yeah. So this is rapidly becoming my wheelhouse for beverages. So
you're welcome.
Nicely done, St. Manna.
I want to ask our guest about her week, but she's also eating, so I'm like,
I mean,
so
now would be the perfect time. Yeah.
I should be a waitress.
How is everything?
How's your meal?
Good.
Okay.
Quite literally.
Can I get you anything else, sweetie? I'll be over here.
Yeah. You guys stopped and got Fat Lorenzo's on the way in,
yeah,
of which I would jealous.
Brilliant. Yeah.
Because
yeah.
it's... Because
you do.
Yeah, which I think I never do. I don't know why I don't do that.
Because you're an idiot.
Here. Oh,
well,
yeah.
No, you're here every week. That. So when you're like over here like once a year, it's like
it's a bigger deal. Yeah,
but I don't
if it's
think
not
he's
local.
Done it at all.
I literally don't think I've ever done
ever?
It.
Ever?
Yeah. Yeah,
Matt's not smart.
I only get Fat Lorenzo's when I go to a primetime wrestling event that like Laszlo and Sean do, because Fat Lorenzo's is the people that supply the food for that.
Yep.
And then I always make sure I get at least a piece, usually two. And then either popcorn or peanuts, because usually my dad comes with, and he's old school baseball game guy, so he does those kind of things. And then I always buy at least one Bud Light, because Wally the Beer Man does those events.
Oh, Wally.
And that voice is just like, and you're like, Wally, I'm going to go buy a shit beer from you, and then a Guinness at the bar. Like, yep, I mean, it's going to be a paper cup, and I'm probably going to spill it. who's just like baseball.
Who's Wally?
Wally the Beer Guy. Yeah, Wally the Beer Man was a concessions guy at the Metrodome for, I'm going to say, conservatively 30 years.
At least.
Pretty much since the Metrodome existed, so did Wally.
Okay.
So he's now a dude like in his 70s that walks around. He might have been at the Met, for that matter. And just has that booming voice that like every carny needs to be heard from the very bottom of a section. And you can hear him at the top and be like, beer's coming, get your wallet.
Okay.
Like, yeah. And he's just, and he had his own trading card, like a Twins trading card that was Wally the Beer Guy. Like, it's,
yeah.
Okay. Yeah, Wally was an institution and
yes,
he no longer works for
and
them.
Then...
But yeah,
the
same
bear?
Idea.
Oh, okay.
So yeah, but yeah. He's, so like as a kid when I was, you know, 5, 6, 7, like that was the guy that would always be selling beer. Like, here's Wally the Beer Man. And I was like, I don't know why that matters.
So if you grew up in the Twin Cities, that was
you
would that was a name you just knew.
Yeah. If you'd ever been to like a couple of baseball games, you would have known. And then if you asked, he would just give you a trading card.
Like when you get to meet Scott Seekins and punch him in the face.
Okay. What?
Like when you get to meet Scott Seekins and punch him in the face.
Do I know who that
like,
is?
Like, I don't
Who's
know.
That?
I don't know what's going
Does
on.
It, oh my God. Am I? Nope.
I don't. Nope.
Scott Seekins is a...
Oh my God, get a mic if you're going to talk.
Lean in.
I'm sorry. All right, so Scott Seekins, I'm sure my very intelligent listeners will know. he is a very unique looking type of...
Oh, dead. The guy with the hair.
Yes.
Yeah, okay, yep.
I'm
he wears
still
a black suit in
the uptown
and
guy.
Summer,
yeah.
And he wears a black suit in the fall and the winter. He's just kind of, he's an artist and he's
that guy.
I know who you're talking about. Yes.
Yep.
Yes, the hair.
He's a very unique persona.
Yes.
Has gained him a legendary status.
Yes.
Where people recognize him where he goes.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
His art revolves mostly around portraits of him with Britney Spears.
Yep.
Making out with Britney Spears. Recently he did actually.
It's weird.
He did produce a body of work that can...
I thought you were going to stop at body for a second.
So did I.
Oh, hell no. He made the series that commemorated a certain Native American battle that he has no business being involved in.
Oh, got it.
Everybody got pissed.
I got it. Okay, now I see the connection.
So, yeah, local celebrity, name is Mud. There you go.
All right. And now we all learned something today.
Okay, I'm seeing pictures of him now, and I've never seen
really?
Him before.
Oh, like, all the time.
I don't
time.
Think I've seen him
either. When I used to work at Calhoun, I'd see him.
Okay.
At least.
Another one you'd probably have to be.
It's a local.
Okay.
Hey, local jokes get you local work.
Yay.
Hey, everybody still loves Fancy Ray.
but Fancy Ray was actually, like, funny, too.
Yeah, Fancy
like
Ray
a nice
is
dude.
Funny and delightful.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. He's always been cool. That came up on Horseshoe Hot Dog like a month ago.
Hi.
Because there was a movie we watched, and they had like a show, and then there's a commercial, and there's this guy like, "Hacha!" I'm like, "Yeah." And then they have their like version of Fancy Ray doing a commercial, and everybody's like, "What?
Oh my god!"
And then you I remember
not
that like Charlie and Scully both like, you know, Charlie's in Texas, they both like went to Arizona, one of them's from like Illinois, right, or some shit. So like they were like, "What's Fancy Ray?" I'm like, "What? Do you, what?"
Oh my god!
And so I'm just like emailing YouTube commercials, like he'll do anything from like car dealership to lickety split,
Elsa's
like,
House of Sleep.
Yeah, the one that's like the meat store. Like, oh my god! Like, but everything he does is just so balls to the wall. Yes. It's wonderful. Yeah. I love it. Yeah,
way over the top.
The man has aged in 25 years.
No, he has not.
No, he has got exactly. Yes, he's got. I love Fancy Ray.
Fancy Ray was best friends with like Bill's uncle.
Mm-hmm.
Bill's uncle being one of the car dealerships that he started doing.
Car dealership. Yep.
Yeah.
So when little Bill started doing stand up comedy, there was Fancy like, "Oh hey little Bill, how's it going?" Like super happy and supportive. Oh, and yeah.
Yeah. No. So I've got a huge soft spot. Like old school.
Oh, yeah.
People that grew up here would be like, "Oh Fancy Ray." Like you remember from your childhood, and then you're just like, "Holy shit." He's a vampire. like, so he looks exactly like you remember from your childhood.
Yes.
It's astounding.
I was walking around Powderhorn Park one day with a friend, and like Fancy Ray was just there. He was like,
being fancy?
Yeah, just being fancy, walking around with his job. Fancy.
Mm-hmm.
And like he's, "Hey, Jenna," and like gives me this big hug, and we talk a little bit, and he walks. You know Fancy Ray?
Nice. He's the first result for Fancy in Google.
Yes.
Fancy Ray. Yay.
That's amazing.
And it's just delightful to me that like there's this local celebrity that knows who I am and calls out my name
that's
and hugs me.
That's pretty great. Well, and that's the thing that this came up on another podcast I was listening to, that the idea of people who get famous as a persona, you know, is not a thing you see much anymore. Because like Pee-wee Herman.
Mm-hmm.
Is in most people's minds Pee Wee Herman. It's not Paul Rubens.
Yeah. Right.
And Elvira.
Right.
Is not normally thought of as Cassandra. She's thought of as Elvira. And like Fancy Ray is Fancy Ray.
Yeah, the persona has taken on a life of their own.
You don't really see people do that these days. Or at least I can't think of one. I bet it's
maybe
out there.
It's possible it happens on a much more local level.
It
than
must,
what it
right?
did because the media is so saturated now, it's hard to get like a
footing.
Thing.
Yeah.
But like we've got like Ayn Rand's Drinking with Ian.
That's true.
He's definitely a personality.
In the drag community, I would say.
That's
the biggest
Foxy
the biggest,
Tan.
Like,
right.
Yeah.
Foxy Tan.
No,
and, like, the,
fucking.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. She is a personality.
David.
Uh-oh. You're having a
what was Piffo called?
Oh, Camilla.
Camilla.
Yeah.
Yes. But yeah, but that makes sense. That would actually be. Yeah. Mm-hmm. That would make perfect sense because that performance style demands persona.
Right. Right.
That makes perfect sense. So yeah, maybe that's where that migrated. That's kind of more of that. But it's interesting to think of like who will be like our generation's Pee Wee Herman or Elvira or Tiny Tim or whatever those things. Like I don't know that we have. Someone who's out there going, I will always sort of be one level removed. Like Zach Galifianakis teases it by always being on.
Right.
But Jack Black is also always on, but that doesn't make it a persona.
No.
That just makes
Jack Black
a
has
whore.
Done some serious stuff.
Right, but you know what I mean? But like Zach usually has a very strong veneer between him and who he is as a person and any kind of
Weird Al.
Maybe
Weird
Al.
I would have to say, yes.
That's a strong choice.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But I don't know. There's no one that like immediately leaps to mind that I would go, okay, I think Weird Al is probably the closest.
Does Lady Gaga count?
I don't know.
That's a good call.
Because maybe that's kind of
a good question.
No, it's not too popular. But she
No, because it doesn't have to be unpopular.
No,
it just has to be a
persona.
She's a
different person in her
stage. I think Bowie counts, and I think that means Gaga counts. Yeah, mm-hmm. You know.
Definitely. Because like who you are on stage versus who you are.
That might be it then. You might have cracked the code.
Ba-dum-ba-chunk.
Well, Mr. Salt, we can all go home.
Oh, show's over,
good.
Show, everybody.
We had a good run. We all get to go to bed at a normal hour now.
I don't understand.
Have we ever?
No.
What?
Dude. But did we want to take a break anyway?
We probably should take a quick break just in case people need to hit a bathroom or whatever. And
we
then,
may or may not be back.
You know, I don't know. We don't have a huge idea for a theme tonight. We'll keep chatting. This is fun.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
All right. We'll be
probably
back
talk to
in,
our guest a bit.
Just a moment.
If you guys like what you heard, come visit us on aonpodcast.com and leave a comment. Or you can send us an individual email at salsa, Matt, or Jenna at aonpodcast.com, or collectively at feedback at aonpodcast.com.
Why?
And we're back. I'm still Matt.
I'm Salsa.
I'm Jenna.
I'm Kara.
Yay!
We did it, Kyle.
I look, it's over there.
Except for
Santa.
Fuck you, Kyle.
Yeah, fuck you, Kyle. Kill you.
So we're recording late tonight because we all had things. There was like a meeting, and then I had a show, and blah, 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 blah.
Lab.
Now, funny. I don't know what all of us are doing for the rest of the night, but I do know tomorrow morning I'll be starting my day with some True Stone coffee.
Yeah.
Before I'll be tired as shit because we're recording late.
Oh, my God, yep. Yes.
You've probably heard of us talk about them before if you've ever listened to the show. Our good friends over at True Stone Coffee produce delicious coffee that you can get delivered directly to your door. If you go to truestonecoffee.com, you can use the promo code...
Apropos!
Nope. Apropos.
Apropos.
Or you could use hashtag assume the board, because we like those guys.
Fine.
We still haven't found out if it stacks from anyone.
Oh,
yeah.
So we should probably
try them both.
Wait, are we literally trying to tell people this to rip off our sponsor? Is that the move?
No, we're encouraging people to experiment.
Okay, yes. Okay. If that does work, send us a message, and then we'll pull this episode, and then it's on you. But yes, you can in fact get yourself a discount getting that coffee delivered to you. And don't forget, in addition to all the delicious whole bean varieties they have, most of which I think we've sampled by now, and I cannot wait to continue drinking.
Pretty damn good.
You can
slice.
Also get that sweet, sweet cold press for when you need something the hot summer days. So that will be my jam for festival once again.
Do you know
this
what they do for Human Combat Chess? At least they've done it in years past, and I'm really hoping they do it this year. They have True Stone at the concession stand.
Nice.
They have the nitrous coffee.
Oh, the fucking nitrous coffee is so good. That nitrous coffee that maybe, if you're one of the folks that goes to Convergence every year, you might have had at the Fearless Party Room last year. Because it was so good.
You know what? We always talk about the coffee. And the coffee is really great. And we've been encouraging people. This time, I'm going to encourage you to get the glassware.
Oh, the permanent style.
Oh, the classy stuff.
Because it is what is that glass style called?
Pretty?
Kind of the brandy snifter?
Yes.
Like the tulip style. Glass?
Tulip glass is like a Guinness glass, I thought.
I have no idea.
No, tulip's the
small one.
But
it is. It is very
much. Oh, is it? Okay, but it is the one with the short stem and the large bowl on top, and it's got the True Stone emblem on the side, and it's a very, very classy as fuck glass to drink coffee out
of.
I have one of them. Did you have a date like that once,
James?
So many. So many.
Chalice. Yes.
I like chalice.
Ooh, it's a coffee chalice.
Coffee chalice.
It is now.
Yeah.
Whether or not that's correct, it is now correct.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So yeah, do us a favor and support someone who has been kind enough to support us. Go get yourself some coffee from True Stone. You know you're buying coffee. You might as well get good coffee. Goddamn.
Right? Yep.
You're a grown-ass man or woman by now. Probably.
Kind of.
I feel like all of our listeners we knew when they were teenagers are now old enough that some of them have children, literally.
That is true.
It is upsetting. Yeah.
Oh,
so,
God.
Cool.
That was
said,
their responsibility years ago.
Where were your parents?
I I was doing a podcast.
Poor
Jessa.
So that said, aside from like what we've been doing, what we've been up to, anything dope on the horizon, or things you would like to let other people know about because you think they're neat?
Have I talked about
probably
Ballycast on this show yet?
Yes,
I know.
Maybe we just.
I told you about it.
Oh, that's right, because it was a text. Because I'd sent you the link saying, "Hey, you should check out this."
Yeah,
I
don't know.
Have I talked about it on the show at all?
I think so.
Yeah, pimp it.
Okay.
Good.
I'm gonna guess he's gonna go with it now.
Yeah. Anyway.
I have been listening to a podcast called The Ballycast, and if the name doesn't ring a bell for you, it's a sideshow podcast.
Oh, nice.
It is a guy. The guy who's doing it has been a party magician and things like that for decades and decades and decades, and he has the best goddamn like sideshow voice. Like, Jesus Christ, it's this very deep, resonant, like, oh man, he would be
super blown out or still decent,
super super decent. Oh, like, wow, like, right. He's got a great.
So someone actually taught him how to use it.
Oh yeah, like, this guy's got a great voice.
Most of the time,
voice.
It's real rough.
And he interviews.
I'm slightly turned on just by listening to that.
Like, okay, so
Jenna had a date like.
Oh, I grew up at a Ren Fair. Yeah, I had a date like that once.
I'm about 6 episodes in, and he's already interviewed Glacerella.
Really?
A glass eater.
Yeah.
He's interviewed Tommy Gunn.
Oh, no shit.
Yep.
Oh.
He's interviewed, shoot, what's his name?
That one guy? That does
the sword swallower that was on Penn Sunday School.
Mm. Oh, fuck.
Jim McGee.
Why not? For the sake of
argument. Anyway, but the very first episode is the sword swallower, and it was actually kind of interesting because he and I feel stupid because I don't remember his name, but he's basically the face of the new sideshow.
Ooh.
Like, he has become such a famous person because he's been doing sideshow performing since he was like 17.
Okay,
like, he swallows swords. He eats fire. He does the blockhead. He does the mousetrap on tongue. He does bug eating. He does the regurgitation stuff. Like, he does all of that shit.
Does he do the full?
Like, bug eating sounds so tame now.
No, he does. Right. He does. I think he does bugs.
Okay.
Like cockroaches. He does the regurgitation. But anyway, like, this dude is fucking sideshow. But they were talking about how he got his start, and he was like, well, my first teacher was Dexter Tripp.
What?
Yeah, exactly. I was just like, what?
Oh, my God.
Because Dexter Tripp, for those of you who don't know, is from the Twin Cities.
Yes.
And so, like, that connection there was like, we've performed on stage with that dude. So yeah. That was a pretty cool
fuck yeah.
Little thing. But yeah, no, these are absolutely fascinating because in addition to these interviews he does, he also does like a sideshow recipe.
Like carny trail mix or what?
No. Like recipes for the food that you would get on the Midway.
Oh,
okay.
Like,
but, I mean, that makes
candy
more sense.
Mixed with corn dog regrets.
And meth. Yes.
Cotton candy and mini donuts.
So there's.
Oh, yeah, they are.
But one of the things this guy sells on his website is a CD and the entire CD is sideshow talkers.
Oh, that'd be awesome.
Doing their outside talk, doing their ballet. And it is, and I really kind of want to buy this CD. And so it's just this whole sideshow world that he's talking, you know, and he hasn't done actual sideshow himself. Like I said, he was a magician, but he knows a lot of these people and he has, you know, interviewed them. And these interviews are fascinating.
See, okay. Here's the thing. I don't listen to podcasts because I get distracted really easily. Like, I just can't do the multitasking thing.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I can understand.
But this is happening.
Yeah.
Because even if I'm not paying attention, to have those voices in the back, there is nothing sexier than a carny voice.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
I mean, like, not yours, but like an actual carny's mm-hmm. voice.
I've now bookmarked.
Oh, my God.
This page.
But he also sells brochures.
I think I remember the last time I was aroused at a state fair, so I'm gonna have to like just take your word.
Grew up at a Ren Fair.
Yeah.
All of these 1920s leaflets,
carnies. Oh, carnies
and things like
carnies.
That. Yeah. Like, he's got all that stuff on there.
Fuck.
Yeah, no, this is a really really fascinating show.
Vesties or carnies with two more teeth,
depending.
I mean, not always.
The problem is
statistically,
the first like 93 episodes are not in any streaming.
Yeah,
thing like if you do like iTunes or anything like that, it starts at like episode 93. So you actually have to go to the website and actually play the first 92 episodes.
Yeah, it says if
from
you
the
click
website.
A link, you can go to the download page or whatever.
Exactly.
So like it's doable, but it's just not terribly convenient.
Sure.
But.
Yeah. So you just download the episode and listen to them, and there's
no
so
RSS feed at all.
Fucking fascinating. Absolutely. I don't think so. The dude's kind of old, and
well, I mean,
if you look at the website, you can tell he's not entirely computer
savvy.
I'm
going to see if there's an RSS.
The website is bad.
I can grab an RSS feed and make that good enough player.
Just fascinating. absolutely fascinating stuff. A couple fire performers that do Renaissance festivals in Wisconsin and are now doing burlesque stuff and just talking about the evolution of their personas and, like, with Glacerella, you know, talking about, like, because Glacerella is a glass eater, which is a standard sideshow, but does fucking everything with glass. Like, goddamn everything. Like, does the glass walk. And she was saying that what she actually does is she puts ground up glass in her shoes. So that when she's about to do her glass walk, she takes off her shoes and then, like, dumps extra glass out of her shoe onto the... Just to give people that little, like, holy shit.
That's pretty good.
Like, fuck. And
that's a good button.
But one of the reasons that Glacerella is so famous is because she doesn't just eat light bulbs. She does, like, full-on wine glasses and stuff like that. Like, thick glass. And just talking about... the toll that takes on her teeth and the dental care and the conversations that she's had to have with her dentist. And it's super, super interesting. Like, this is inside baseball of sideshow and it is so good. Oh.
All right. I'm going to tell a quick story. Little sidetrack. So the first time I went in to see an oral surgeon, I may have told this story on the podcast before. I don't remember. But it's been a while, so let's do it again. First time I went in to see an oral surgeon I had impacted molars. Instead of when they went to drug me up, instead of like having me count backwards from 100 or something, my oral surgeon was like, "So tell me about something really interesting that you do." And I was like, "Well, I eat and breathe fire." And he looks at me for a second and he goes, "You know, that's really bad for your teeth, right?" And I'm like, "What?" Like, as I'm starting to go in there, and he's like, "Have you ever been to the street performers convention in, like, the Keys?" And, like, what? No, there's a thing. And he starts talking about... And that's when I went out, and I'm pretty sure my first oral surgeon was also a clown. And I find that very oddly comforting.
That is, like, a 9 out of 10 on most people's nightmare fuel.
I know, right? Like, for everybody else, it's like, what?
And you,
for me, it's like...
Yeah.
My nose made whistling noises.
So here's a few people he's interviewed. Brett Loudermilk, that was the
sword
power.
Yes.
James Taylor, Tommy Gunn, Swami Yomami.
That's the best name ever.
Really it's great. The Great Nippolini.
Also good.
Yes. Yeah. Don Driver, who is a pitchman, who anybody in Sideshow would know that name.
Did he work with the, what's that? Fuck, I just lost the name. It's just the W.
Doesn't matter.
Possibly.
Never mind.
Harley Newman, who runs Sideshow U, so many good, just like, this is just fascinating shit in here.
And if you're relatively new to the show, we're huge geeks for this stuff.
Yeah.
Well, okay, not technically, because none of us have done the smoke.
Oh, no, I have been listening to this pretty much nonstop since Zamora the Torture King. Is in here. It's just so good. So many fascinating fucking people.
Yeah, what was the name of that again?
Ballycast. And it's just ballycast.com.
Nice.
Ballycast.com.
Mm-hmm. I'll be getting a hunk of those on my phone because I'm starting to run out of stuff. I'm running that problem where, like, despite being subscribed to like 50 billion podcasts, like, once you catch up, there's not enough to get through a day. So that'll give me something to kind of chew on for a while.
Episode 99, which is going to take me forever to get to, is Reggie Bug Buncher, and I cannot.
God,
I had a date like that once. Oh, damn.
Reggie Bug Buncher is this gorgeous, betattooed woman who eats bugs and is so fucking cool.
Oh my god, you're such a freak.
I know, it. I am, and I love this shit so much. So
nice.
What's on the
I'm not. I don't remember exactly. I think I tried to do a similar thing to what you made previously, but I was like, instead of peppermint, what if we just did pepper? So use the absolute pepper.
Oh.
Not so much.
Not so good.
So anyway, that's my what I've been.
It's effective, but it's not great.
Look, you're no Saint Man of the Destroyer.
No.
Of engineers.
Engineer Saint Man of the Destroyer.
Saint Engineer, the Saint Destroyer of Mana.
Man of Engineer Destroyer.
Who can say? It could be anything.
I've got nothing. I mean, my week, my month, my year peaked this evening. Sasquatch this evening.
Oh, that's right, Sasquatch.
Sasquatch.
I wanted to make sure we said that. No, Sasquatch.
Sasquatch.
Kara performed at Lab tonight and did a stand-up set that was all about the fragility of the male scrotum. Used euphemisms, some of which I had never heard before. Sasquatch is the one I chose to highlight in my outro because they usually go, well, what do we learn tonight? And I talk about a little one thing from each act that stuck out to me. But the other one that I never heard was giggleberries as a term for nut sacks. I'd never heard that. And I was like, that was my winner until and she goes, so win this Sasquatch. I'm like, Sasquatch? Because I think as a Bob's Burgers fan, I pictured Eugene being like, beef squatch, except Sasquatch wearing a nutsack costume. And I was like, I want that to be a thing.
Yeah.
So,
no, the
coming
term
to
is,
Conversions 2017, Sasquatch.
Tickling a guy's giggleberries.
I'd never heard it.
Yeah.
I'm bad at
Achilles
this.
Ball sack was my
Achilles ball sack was also pretty good. I like that.
Are you guys familiar with QI?
Yes.
The British panel show where...
Vaguely, okay, yes. Okay. I know of it.
The QI elves, a.k.a. the researchers who do all the research for that show, have a podcast called No Such Thing as a Fish. That is another thing I have been listening to. They, one of their...
You have way too many hours in the day.
I listen while I'm driving to and from work.
Mine's all... It's all about commutes. Yeah.
Yeah, when I'm driving 4 hours to a Renaissance festival, that's what I do is listen to podcasts.
That makes sense.
But one of the episodes, they were talking about a guy met a woman and had a few drinks, and when he woke up the next day, his testicles had been stolen.
Oh my god.
Because that's just greedy.
But he woke up and his wallet and the normal things were gone, and he filled out a police report, and it wasn't until he went to the bathroom that he realized there was an incision.
How do you not realize your balls are missing?
I don't know.
I know mine are missing.
But the doctor had said it was very professionally done.
Oh my
god. You can block that. I know for a fact.
Okay.
I have removed testicles on many occasions.
So that's how they had.
No, I want to hear more about this testicle removal. Pause.
Yeah.
We're moving on.
Oh yeah, no, I absolutely. Go ahead.
Tell us about ball removal.
Don't, honestly. I'm okay.
No, tell me about ball removal.
Let's see here. Let me count. I have removed balls on numerous species, and yes, you can.
I've done cows and pigs, but.
Yeah, cows, pigs, goats, sheep, cats, dogs,
but they usually
bunnies,
feel that.
Sugar gliders, you name it. Tiny little balls. They are so cute, but you can block that.
I did have a date like that once.
we all have. So it can be done very, very easily. Especially surgically removing, if you were to band them and wait for them to fall off later, that is a bit more painful.
That takes a while.
That's a very slow process. Yeah, that's a very slow process.
So somebody on the black market has that dude's nuts.
The second you mention that, the minute you mention that, I start going, at what temperature do you have to face? Because even if you tie off the vas deferens, you still have a sack full of sperm. So I'm trying to think of what possible use, if they were doing that just for the sole use of the sperm.
Culinary.
Ew.
It honestly has to be, because they're not going to be useful for anything else.
Oh, God. Oh, God.
That's got to be someone trying to gain someone else's power.
Okay. There was
a Highlander.
There was a fraternity.
Yeah, the Highlander of your pants. Yeah,
that did that, and they had their I can't remember what else. It was like ball and something night, and they did do that with a large variety of different species.
Oh,
I mean, a lot of testicles are food in other parts of the world. Yeah.
Fry them up and whatever
Mountain oysters,
and eat them.
Yeah, Rocky Mountain oysters are just a lot of Asian cuisine
and it
has
would be
a lot
like,
of
you know, different, yeah, like
testicles.
Sheep, cow, goat testicles, a whole bunch of different varieties of...
But human.
But human. I haven't...
No, not but oh testicle. Testicle human.
So is this dinner a mixed nuts dinner?
But not walnuts. Walnuts are terrible. Everything but that. Especially the macadamia ones.
So anyway. Yep.
Anyway.
Also listen to No Such Thing as a Fish, because that shit is funny
God
as hell.
Damn.
Awesome.
All right. Hey.
Hey.
How do y'all feel about a Fast Five?
Fast Five.
All right. Kara, you've played before.
Yes.
Awesome. So for those of you that might be new, the way this works is we get a list of five questions, A or B, Coke or Pepsi type choices with no context. We all give our answers for whatever reasons we might think. And then we read the context and find out who is right and who is regretful. This one, again, is one of the older ones. This one comes to us from January 9th of 2014. From
catching up.
Friend of the show and friend of all of ours at this point.
Finally almost divorced at this point.
Yeah.
Nice. Which time?
Yeah.
Oh, wait, no, I'm talking about myself.
No. I've only had one divorce.
She's only had the one. Yeah, she's fucking lightweight.
I was also just the once at that point.
Yeah. So this one comes to us from Stefan.
Yay, Stefan.
Previous guest on this. And so, here we go. Question one, kanji or Farsi?
I don't know what this is.
I would rather learn.
Well, kanji's the Japanese characters.
Mm-hmm.
Oh!
So Farsi's a language,
is the Arabic,
right? Is it the letters or is it the language?
I think kanji mean it was letters.
I think kanji is letters and Farsi is
I think because you speak Japanese, but kanji is the spanking.
I think the Farsi the alphabet is more
bubbles
pretty.
To the surface.
I think the alphabet is more aesthetically pleasing.
In the kanji?
In Farsi.
Oh, in Farsi.
I'm going Farsi.
I like both, really. Yeah. That's why I have these four tramp stamps. What? Like, no.
I think it would be more useful to learn kanji, but I think it'd be more fun to learn Farsi.
I think it'd be more useful to learn Farsi.
Especially in Minneapolis.
Right.
True, yeah. That's a good point.
I think it's easier to speak than, I mean...
Sorry. Especially in Minneapolis!
There you go.
Yeah. That's from our engineer, Manna.
Yeah. No, I would say...
Any and all complaints, please forward you,
you'd
to
have a higher,
at AOM.
You'd probably have a higher likelihood of day-to-day usage of any Middle Eastern language than you would any...
Mm-hmm.
And not even saying picking down like a single country or, you know, between an Asian language or a Middle Eastern language, you're going to run into more Middle Eastern transplants here.
Yeah.
So you'd have
a
higher likelihood of someone that doesn't speak English speaking a Middle Eastern language than you would someone speaking an Asian language.
Yeah, but do I want utilitarian?
Well, that's a whole separate question.
Right.
You know, so that's things. If you're looking utilitarian, I think the Middle Eastern language is more utilitarian. I think if I'm looking at how they look written down, which is interesting.
I think aesthetically, I like Farsi better.
But see, I really like calligraphy.
Do you want that's to use your fingers or your tongue? That's what it comes down to.
Yeah, that's a good point.
I want to calligraphy some... Yes.
Some kanji.
I want to calligraphy the fuck out of something.
So basically,
I don't even know.
Okay, Jenna's just siding with pussy.
Is that? I'm not sure.
I'm going to calligraphy.
So you're gonna kanji that pussy.
I'm going to kanji.
I'm going to conjugate
girl,
that verb, Missy.
Girl, I'm going to kanji that
I'm
pussy.
I'm going to conjugate that verb.
It will be past tense when I'm done with it. I'll take you so far past tense you can't even see tense. Certainly won't feel tense.
Mine would be the perfect tense.
There she goes.
I hate to tell you, but it is present perfect tense right now.
No.
Let's talk about my dangling participle and see where this conversation is going.
With me.
Past tense.
Baby, with me it would be...
Well, it's a Renaissance festival. It's fucking intense.
Baby, with me it would be poo perfect.
Oh, God.
Oh, boy. All right. Well, did we all at least give an out? Man, I just
You're
took
hired.
The time to walk around the bar and punch me.
No, wait, here's the McGinney, too.
Oh, damn it.
This.
You want the Vulcan neck pinch. That's the way to do it.
No, don't actually do that to me.
Yeah,
because
she'll die.
Are you breathing?
No, because
I am actually getting air. It sounds weird, but I'm actually breathing during that.
Hey, she stopped.
It's true.
Yeah.
I got her to stop.
Well, that's because I was scared you were going to kill me. So, I mean, you know.
Always be scared they're going
like
to
that.
Kill you.
It's a reasonable fear.
That's what you do.
Yeah, that really only works with her.
Have we all answered?
I think so.
I think so.
Okay. Question two.
So cute.
Squishy or slimy?
Squishy.
Assuming squishy doesn't automatically infer slimy, squishy.
I think
I like
which is
squishy mud.
Grosser?
I've got tactile issues with slimy.
I think slimy is
I
more
like
gross.
Squishy mud and squishing things and squishy.
I'm going with a negative context and I'm going slimy.
I'm going with a positive one and I'm going squishy.
Shoot, that is squish, that is squish, a negative. Squish, squish,
squish, squish. Squish is a great word.
Fantastic word.
Well,
wow.
It's good to squish your feet in mud.
Yeah, and not so good to slime your feet in
but
mud.
But like, if you walk out of like a gross,
yeah, lake, I don't know of anything that slimy. Is decent slimy.
Like kids' toys in the 80s used to be, yeah. But I think I'm over that now.
Gack.
I'll go with squish.
Gack. Squish.
Squish.
Question three: tap or bottle?
Oh, tap.
Probably tap.
I don't know that I have a very strong opinion anymore.
I do.
Well, sure, but you're a dick.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Maybe. I'm gonna say tap, in the context of because that means if you're at a bar, they might have a larger glass than your average 12-ounce beer.
There you go.
And like honey,
quantity when, yeah. Quality doesn't mean shit.
No, because you could theoretically be ordering something good,
right?
And then you might get a little more of it because like when we've done shows at Honey, like I ordered a beer once and like it blew the line, and he's like, oh crap, sorry, and I'm like, that's I'm gonna be here for an hour and a half, and so dude went and like changed the keg, came back. Got the first one kind of going, and it was like, set it to the side, and then it was pouring, and he poured one, and he slid all three glasses to me.
Nice.
I
was
like, I just need, and he goes, I mean, I'm going to dump them otherwise. I'm like, dope. So I just let those first two sit for a while I drank the one that was poured properly, mm-hmm. and then ended up with essentially two beers. And I was like, cool. Awesome. Well, like, done. Okay, so on that alone, I'll say tap.
There you go.
Fair enough.
Yeah. Dirty answer?
Bottle.
Bottle.
Cool.
Cool. All right. Kegged or bottled? Isn't it the same basic idea?
Not necessarily.
We don't know what the context is.
I mean, but you can't have tap without keg.
Well, now I'm going to go bottled.
Or bottle without bottled.
I'm still sticking with bottle because
it might be specific beer.
I'm just going to be contrary. Yeah, oh, that's true. That's true.
Yeah, could be specifically which do you prefer.
I do prefer a keg Guinness versus a bottled Guinness.
Yeah. Well, if you're thinking of like hard liquor, too.
So if you want a drink that is kegged or a drink that is bottled.
Right. Yeah.
All right, I'm going bottled.
I'm going bottled.
Still going kegged.
Bottle.
Is there question five? Paper or digital?
Oh.
Paper books.
Some bitch.
I'm guessing books too, mm-hmm. and I don't care as much, but paper. Assuming it's that, because that's the first thing I thought of.
I've been doing a lot of my like storytelling script reading stuff off of digital just to kind of like save trees and stuff, but it doesn't have the same feel as paper. Uh-uh. Just flipping a page, mm-hmm. there's something about it. I'm gonna have to go paper.
Paper. I write all my ideas on paper. I write everything out. Actually, unless I have to share it. I mean, if I have to share
on a collaborative
it with a group
project,
collaborative
yeah.
project, then I have to go digital.
If it's note taking, I will actually do digital.
But I prefer I prefer reading paper. Mm-hmm. I prefer writing on paper. I have my notebooks with me always.
No, that's interesting. I do prefer writing on digital because I can't read my own handwriting.
Oh, I can't read shit. No, God, no. I have no fucking clue what I wrote. I will do it because the majority of the inspiration I have is when it's like 2:00 in the morning and I am like three quarters asleep and I'm like, but this is way funny. Oh, I gotta write that down.
That's why I have like the stack of post-its on top of my
Yeah, that's what I have. I have my notebooks all over the place.
I just tell my phone to take a note and then I say it and then I go to bed.
Okay, wait. I'm going to change my context then to match this, not that we know. But if it's writing, then I'm going to say paper. With the caveat that technically it's not always paper. And in fact, I have just in the last week hung a whiteboard in my bedroom.
Ooh, smart.
So that at any moment, if I have an idea, I can scrawl it or sketch it. And it's right there. And then I can come back to it later or just roll it and go back to bed and go, okay. And then if it's worth doing, I can flesh it out or I can put it in like a Google Doc. But I have the option to just wake up and go, huh, that is a weird dream. Write it down, roll back over. So it's literally hanging above my bed in my bedroom.
But what if you accidentally like rub against it?
Oh, that'll happen. Okay. But I mean, that's no worse than waking up thinking and going, "I'll remember that in the morning," and then going back to bed and it's gone.
But that's why you have
it's increasing the
all over.
Am I the only one that like prefers to write in digital?
No, I prefer to write in digital.
Okay.
Oh no.
Yeah, no, I'm there with you for the.
Okay. I just never do it.
I have no patience. Like if I have to write something out
in words on paper, by the time I'm halfway through the first word, I'm like, this is taking forever.
See, I'm a faster writer on paper.
Yeah, oh, see, I type
yeah,
very fast.
I get my thoughts out faster.
I'm a very
typing.
Slow typer.
Because then at least on paper, even if I completely, like, I'll make a sentence and I'll cross it off and then I'll do it again, I don't have the patience to go backspace, backspace.
I spent too much time editing if I digitally type.
I'm just like, fuck it all.
Yeah, I second guess too much.
That kinesthetic memory.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
Remember
what you just did.
Yeah. Movement-wise. All right. Let's see. Let's see what we're looking at.
All right.
All right. Yeah. Okay. Question one: okay. Kanji or Farsi? In which script would you rather get a mistranslated word as a tattoo?
Oh God.
It kind of makes it a zero-sum game to me at that
point.
Really,
kind of does.
Then I would go with aesthetics. Then, but, and I think Farsi's Farsi.
I think I would probably still go Kanji just because people would be less likely to scrutinize it.
Yeah.
So.
Well, no, I think with kanji, those are usually the ones where people are like, you probably got a shitty translation, because there's enough kanji
ambition.
Shitty translations
no, it means
out
more.
There. Exactly.
Yeah, that's what
and getting a tattoo of kanji is kind of not taboo, cliche.
Yeah.
Cliche. Oh, yeah.
Whereas Farsi, that's like, whoa.
Oh.
That person's like,
but the thing
a
is, if you get something in Farsi, you're like, whoa, is that an elvish tattoo?
Actually, like, I would
yes,
be.
Is elvish?
Yeah, that's gorgeous.
That is
and I do like Farsi.
It's pen and ink work.
I think if I got that, I would be concerned that I would get stopped at like the airport or something. Except that I don't go to the airport, so that's not an issue. But if that was a
that's
thing.
A really good question, though.
If you put it on your ass, I guess.
I've put worse things. Question
that,
two.
You know,
squishy or slimy, which is the worst way to find out the food in your fridge has gone bad?
Worse is slimy.
Slimy.
I think slimy, honestly, suddenly leaps into the lead there.
Slimy
yeah.
spinach is just not.
Yeah.
Slimy onions. That happens every now and again at work. It's like, it's time to go make the onions, and I go grab the bag, and I open it, and you go, uh-oh.
Yep. Yeah,
and then you
yeah,
touch
yeah.
it, and you go, ooh, yeah, nope, no, throw it out and go
slimy
open
slimy mushrooms.
Yeah. Slimy mushrooms
ew.
Is bad,
oh,
for sure.
God, yeah.
I think we've, we are in a
no, I think everybody can agree on that. All right, question three, tap or bottle. Which way would you order a beer at an American Legion?
I wouldn't.
this one has the P.S., list of reasons not to eat at Applebee's is my favorite rant of Matt's. I know I've done that. I have no idea what I said.
It was pretty epic. I am switching to bottle on this one.
It's
because
funny.
American Legion is going to have three beers on tap. Bud,
all
Bud
three
Light,
Budweiser.
And Miller.
Yeah. Yeah. I went to, back when my first wife and I were together. I don't know if we were married or not yet, but like we were hanging out at her parents' place playing darts or whatever. And her dad's like, let's go get a nightcap down at the pub. And we go down to like the local place, like Arnie's maybe, or something like that. Like one of the little bars you'd have in a tiny little town like that.
Yeah.
And
but they have hams on tap.
And the thing is like,
boy,
I'm a guy who, you know,
lucky.
But like I had different tastes in beer than your average townie. So if I went to a bar, I'd always sit down and go, okay, what do you have on tap? And then I'd pick the one that sounded the most interesting. And so I go there and go, what do you got on tap? And the waitress just kind of looks at me. And I'm like, what? And they're like, well, okay. And it's like, yeah, Bud Light, Miller, something else. And they, like, maybe like a Line and Kugels. And I was like, oh, all right, Line and Kugels then. And so they, all right. And then off she goes, and everybody else at the table ordered like a Bud or something, whatever. And everybody looks at me and goes, what are you doing? And I went, what do you mean? They're like, why would you order a tap beer here? I'm like, what? That's what beer is. Like, that's beer. That's just beer. You're just ordering a beer. Like, yeah, but dude, here? I'm like, what does that mean? Like,
I don't know what that means.
What do you
either.
Know that I, is there, are they just fucking skunks in the kegs? Like, what are they doing? And they're like, dude, it's going to be awful. And sure enough, it was. It was just like, I don't think you can water down a keg and have the keg still pump. I don't know how that can work, but it
the
tasted
lines
like
haven't been
ass.
Clean since 1972.
I think that was more the concern. And I was like, well, that did taste like ass. So I ordered, you know, like a Liney's in a bottle. And it's like, no.
And depending on their tower, they can get mold inside.
For sure. Like, there's a million things. But it's like, but at the same time, like, they have to have inspections as often as anywhere. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. But yeah, it was weird because I literally had, like, the four or five people that were with us kind of look at me like I had just farted in church. And I was like, all right,
what
whatever.
You just did.
Yeah.
Question four, kegged or bottled? Which way do you prefer your homebrew?
Kegs.
I would also say kegs. That's one where I think there is a strong difference.
Yeah.
For sure. Because carbonation is tough to pull off sometimes in a bottle. Because bottle conditioning is, to, at least in my experience,
plus it
more
is
limited
so
than it might be than yours, is
much
a gamble.
Easier.
And faster.
So much easier.
Well, and we also know from Con with the
microphone.
Beer.
Microphone.
Oh, damn it. Sorry, Sanjay. We also know from Con with Salsa's ginger beer and the homebrewing that he's done that keg ultimately produces a superior product.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, just yeah. straight
like,
up.
Like, wow. For sure. Like, why to Kiowa?
I think just Salsa what? Produces yep. a superior product.
No, well, let's not. Let's not. Let's not. Let's not reach too far.
Ginger. Ginger.
Yeah. Salsa's a better ginger.
Also, his kids are pretty fucking cute.
Yeah,
good,
in
so.
Ginger beer and children. That's about it. Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
Lastly, paper or digital? Oh, we actually kind of landed here. Which way do you prefer to take notes?
Digital.
Notes, I would say definitely paper. Writing, I can kind of go back and forth, but if I'm taking notes, I have a piece of paper.
If I take notes on a piece of paper, that piece of paper just disappears. If I take notes on my computer, eventually I just delete it. But
yeah, but eventually I'll find the piece of paper. Because if I have it in, like, not just, okay, if it's like on a random envelope or back of a receipt, yeah, but that's why I try to keep
a
whole notebook.
Usually if I'm taking notes, on something, it's like a project that has like an end time, and then I end up like finding it 6 months after that, and I'm just like, oh well, shit, that would have been good.
If I take notes on paper, I guarantee you I will never look at it again, ever, because I will either lose it or not care or whatever. I will never look at it again.
I run the opposite because every few months I have to look at all the little phantom post-it notes I create on my desktop, my laptop, and go through and go, how many of these are no longer relevant based on time, and I just delete them, and then how many of these are things I'm going to transfer to a Google Doc that I will then also never look at, versus how many of these are like, oh, okay, that's actually like a seed of an idea. Like, cool. Like, that'll be a thing I'll hang on to or turn into something. But like, yeah, I find that I ignore that stuff very easily.
I guess if it's relevant to other people's interests, I will put it in digital.
Collaborative stuff. That's again. Fair. Yeah.
Well, okay. Even just
if it's something that it's like, you know, deadline imperative thing, then I will digital note it, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah. Yeah, like if I take notes for a Fearless thing, I take it digitally just because theoretically at some point I'm going to email it to someone or post it somewhere. But yeah, because there's no point in doing it in there's no point in doing it physically and then typing it later.
But whether it's class notes or meeting notes or an idea I have, just ever since, God, fourth grade when I was taking notes in science class, if it's in paper, I will never look at it again.
See, I also never took notes, so
my fourth grade science teacher made me.
Oh, I've had people require them. I just didn't.
I wasn't allowed to. She found out I wasn't taking notes, even though I was fucking acing the tests. Because Jesus Christ, she would make me stay after class, and she would, every single day would make sure that I had written all of the notes on the board.
And see, I would just have not done that, which is what I did. You got to take notes. You have to write all this down. Nah.
I was that guy. Stay after school and write this down, and wouldn't show.
Because eventually they'd want to go home too. Like that, no one can make you do anything. Literally.
See, I
like,
wish I thought of that in fourth grade.
Generation specific.
Yeah.
Now
that's
way too young.
I did. Yeah. That's the thing.
We're used to.
I didn't learn that.
You need
in fourth
to turn
grade.
In your rough draft, your first draft, your second draft, and all your revisions.
Oh yeah.
And it's like, well, no, I'm going to write this the night before and turn it in and get a B.
No, I failed. I failed the class.
If they require to see the progress, they're like, well, where's all these other drafts? Why don't I write all these other drafts? Why don't I just write a good story?
I failed a class. Yeah. Like 3 weeks into the semester, because this teacher was a real hard ass, and I didn't turn in my outline, and he never accepted a paper late ever. And because I didn't turn in my outline, he was not going to accept the rough draft, the revision, the final paper, everything. I had failed that class already 3 weeks into this period.
And that was the thing. And I did the same thing. And I just went, okay, cool. I guess I just failed.
And in every other class,
I just didn't care.
Oh, yeah, that's what I did. It was like an 8 a.m. class. So I was like, I'm out.
Well, I think it is an acquired skill that other generations that we didn't have the digital technology to take notes with back in school and such.
Jessa actually takes notes on her arm.
Aww.
Which is impressive because so many...
Where did you get that from?
Not me. I hate everybody that does
that.
Well,
so many kids I see these days, because everything is technology, because you've got the smart whiteboards. Mm-hmm. And the kids have their laptops, they have their tablets, they have whatever. So everything is, you know, transferred from that onto...
And you hit a button and then you email it to all your kids and you're done.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And then they can look up the notes and so they can, you know, snooze through class or zone out because they can go log in and see the notes from the day. Now, not to say that they shouldn't have added onto that, yes, but if they're like, oh, I don't have to write this down, it's going to be sent to me.
Yeah, because if the syllabus is going to be posted, I don't see what the narration is.
Yeah, like, I don't, at least for Jessa, I don't think she's
got,
like,
there was a teacher we could ask.
Posted elsewhere.
Versus the old of having them write it out on the chalkboard, and then you have to write as fast as humanly possible because they'll go right back over it and then erase it and rewrite over that. And you're like,
at least for what it sounds like from Jess's point of view is that, like, the teacher will do a PowerPoint presentation or they'll write it out or whatever, but they don't send that out later. Mm. So you still need to take notes.
We didn't have PowerPoints. We had those little projectors that sing. And you had to manually turn the handle at the little...
Or the transparencies.
The transparencies.
The overheads. Yeah.
Yep.
The overheads. And you had to write, with the markers.
The vis-a-vis markers.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Nice. On the overheads. And you had to do math.
Those transparency markers were gold.
Yeah, they were.
Yeah,
they
I
liked it.
Yeah, we should get out of here.
All
right. I think we all learned something about how all of us learn. I don't know if we learned anything about how to learn, but we all learned something about how we learn. So,
and the answer is we don't.
Not yeah, but yeah. Differently. Let's just say differently.
We haven't learned. We do a podcast.
We haven't learned. That's fair.
We stick things down our throats.
We haven't learned.
For fun and profit. Mostly just profit.
So thanks, everybody. Thank you, Kara, for being our guest again and for helping support Fearless. Not that you don't have a vested interest, but... but
it's the only time you let me be on anything.
Daw. Except for that show you were on 4 hours ago. Wah.
Oh, there was that.
Sasquatch. There you go. That'll be your new catchphrase when you get on stage. You'll be like, yell, Sasquatch. And you'll be like, that was 4 years ago. Like, listen to my new album.
Human Combat Jess opens this weekend.
Yes.
Go woo-hoo. See it. Use hashtag stabby, assume stabby. The board.
Go
hashtag
that.
Assume the board.
This Save week, money. We will have, assuming I can get this up Wednesday before I have to go to rehearsal, we'll have Double Blind Improv performing at Honey at 7:30 p.m. We will have PowerPoint karaoke with the opener, A Double Blind Improv, on Friday. Mm-hmm. Next Wednesday is the opening of Murder on the Mississippi, which is Fearless's new murder mystery show. That will take place, also it's St. Anna Destroyer's birthday.
I have my tickets.
That will take place Wednesday night on the Jonathan Paddleford in St. Paul. And Thursday night next week, also at Honey, will be the inaugural performance of Our What the Improv, Fearless's first new ongoing monthly show in a little while. I believe that gets us through at least a week's worth of stuff.
Yep.
So that's far enough out. We'll have more feedback and things to talk about regarding Human Combat Chess, The Fringe, all those other things coming up. Yep. Convergence, we're hurtling towards all those things in a breakneck pace that is upsetting to me and is why I don't sleep. Right. So, but for now, does that cover all the plugs?
I think so.
We good? Everybody feel good about this? Conversions! Woo! Sweet.
I'm hurtling to my own death at this point.
Yeah, the heat death of culture is rapidly approaching.
Wait. 2 weeks till Convergence? Dear God, why?
Oh,
why?
God.
Why?
I think I just picked up another show at Convergence.
Oh, God damn it. Cool. So, on that note, we're going to get out of here. Thanks again, Kara. Thank you, St. Manna, for occasionally piping in without a microphone.
I made you drinks!
That's true.
You're allowed. Made us drinks.
Fair enough. All right, and
she's an enabler.
On that note, take care of yourselves and each other, and eat the fucking cake.
Hey, everybody. You should like us on Facebook, apropos of nothing. You could follow us on Twitter, at AON Podcast, or you could join our Steam group at AON Podcast. Search for apropos of nothing.
This is me talking into a microphone.
This is me talking into a different microphone.
I get a microphone, too.
No, you don't.
Aww. None for you.